You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello and welcome to the premiere episode of Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. And it's our first episode. We're so excited to finally debut the show. I am your quiz master and host, Karen, and along with me are our incredibly inquisitive and intelligent co-host contestants. We have...
I'm Colin.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dana.
Okay, what was something interesting you guys learned recently?
Well, so just in this past week was the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points.
Sports boring.
Sports is boring, but this is like, you know, this is an achievement. This is one of the milestone sports records of all time. So what was interesting about this, so it was 100 points, like right on the nose. I love the nice, even, round number. But what was really more interesting to me, so this was 1962, March 2nd. There's no TV footage of the game at all. There's no video footage of the game. And so there's the one iconic photo of Wilt holding up the sign with 100 scribbled on it. And just reading about some of these people who have false memories of, yeah, I remember seeing it on TV. And no, you didn't, because it wasn't on TV.
Just recently, I learned that in certain primitive societies, alligator dung was used as a natural contraceptive.
Ew!
Yeah.
Wait, how does that work?
You put it anywhere.
And you just stay away.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They put it on their faces? Is that what
we... I think that doesn't even matter where you put it. You're not going to get pregnant. You're not going to have sex. No, apparently, I don't know, a spermicide? I'm not sure.
Well,
cement up the lady part? I don't know. Like,
it doesn't seem right. Well, it's naturally acidic.
I didn't say I learned everything about it.
Okay. This week, I learned that...
Nothing. You learned nothing.
I learned nothing. I learn things every day, all the time. But I can't repeat them.
I'll give you a pass. Alligator dung. Way to start the show. First of all, we want to thank all of our initial supporters and backers. The show started off as a Kickstarter initiative, and we had 100 people from all over the world help make this possible.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
Thank you, 100 people.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're not a big kind of idea or a big company, and it's just kind of amazing looking through all these people from like Hong Kong to Norway. We have a dude from Norway who helped support our show. So thank you all. And we'll be featuring some of these backers in this episode and subsequent episode shows as well. Awesome possum. All right, let's get the show on the road, starting off with our first segment, which is Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Right.
I'm operating on no sleep. I don't know why I agree to this.
Excuses.
I lost it in the sun.
Okay, so I'm picking. The name of the game is I'm choosing a random Trivial Pursuit card and see if y'all and our listeners can show off your braininess.
This is Genius Edition?
This is the Trivial Pursuit. I guess it's just the standard edition.
Regular? Okay.
Regular. Star Wars edition.
Oh, God. Then that's not fair because you would win, Colin. All right, geography, which is blue, right?
Yep.
Karen's topic.
That is my topic. In what country was President Barack Obama's father born?
Kenya.
You are correct.
We need some buzzers in here.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. Pink wedge is culture. Who was the original host of The Daily Show?
Craig Kilborn.
Nice.
I was about to say Carson Daly because his last name is Daly. Mm. But then, yeah, that's how my brain works. You'll find that.
And
out.
He's also used to being in other people's shadows. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
I almost said Craig Ferguson. Craig I knew it was Kilborn. Craig somebody, yeah. And then it was Craig like Kilborn. Craig. For Kilborn.
Quite a different show.
Yeah, amazing.
Really? I've not actually never watched
yeah,
the...
Yeah, yeah.
It really, it played it a lot more, it played it a lot more straight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like straight news?
No, it was fake just, news, was fake but news, he but... didn't break. He didn't yeah. break the way that Jon Stewart would break.
It was fakier news, too. I feel like you can actually learn stuff from The Daily Show. Yeah.
Yeah, a little more in the spirit of like, yeah, SNL.
Okay, oh God, this is a dumb question. Yellow Wedge, in what city did the first Starbucks open?
Oh,
Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. With the
what happened to Trivial Pursuit?
I know.
I'm a casual version.
What type of beverage does Starbucks serve?
A fire truck is what color?
A cheeseburger is a hamburger with what on it?
All right, we got Purple Wedge. What annual publishing phenomenon began humbly in 1964 as a feature on Skin Diving?
Annual publishing.
Oh, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
Oh, correct. Oh, excellent. You are on a roll. Right.
I was thinking literary and not pictorial.
Right. No, I'm sorry. There is no annual publishing phenomenon that's actually literature. It's half naked.
It's boobs. Yeah. All boobs.
I was like, NaNoWriMo, but that's not what I'm thinking too, with skin diving.
It's much better than the Newsweek swimsuit issue, but just for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot even imagine. Or New Yorker.
Ariana Huffington on the cover was not something that will ever leave my head.
Okay, green, which is, I guess, science. Mm-hmm. Which is stronger, a Category 1 or a Category 5 hurricane?
Oh, 5.
Like, I want to say 5, and then at the same time, it's like, but what
burns,
if I'm wrong?
Like, first-degree burns?
First-degree burns.
There's the burns, there's the tornadoes, there's the hurricane stales. I never remember.
We live in California. This is irrelevant.
It's like, what's worse, Homeland Security Orange or Homeland Security Taupe?
I'm gonna say 5 is the worst.
I'm going to say...
It seems like you'll have more of the lower levels.
I'm going to say 5 is the strongest. Yeah.
Dana?
I'm going to be different. I'm a maverick. I'm going to say 1. It's the number 1.
Then you are a wrong maverick because it is Category 5.
You're a loose cannon.
I regret nothing.
Yeah, you're
never
wrong.
Turn in your badge.
Some of us were going to be right. Some would be wrong.
It's true. Yep.
All right. Whoa.
Take one for the team.
This is hard. Orange Wedge, last question. Name 6 of the 8 vegetables in the original V8.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what it stands for. Yes. V8 is vegetable 8.
Celery.
Today, Karen learned what V8 stands for.
Celery.
Tomato. Got to be tomato.
Is that a vegetable or
celery,
fruit?
Tomato.
Celery, tomato, yes.
No. Yeah, tomato
fruit,
is in there.
Carrot.
Is it?
Yes.
Tomato is a fruit.
Yes.
By the way,
okay.
Beet? I'm going to say beet.
Correct.
Yeah. Celery, tomato, carrot, beet.
Peppers, like green peppers?
No.
Sugar.
High fructose corn syrup.
Is that the new swear word?
My goodness.
Ketchup?
Ketchup and water?
Onions?
Grossness? No.
Onions? No.
Carrots?
What are we at so far?
Kale.
Ooh.
Spinach? Whoa.
Spinach, correct.
Spinach. Okay, so what is it? Okay. Spinach, tomatoes,
three
celery,
more. They're
beets.
Green.
Mm. They're all
broccoli.
Green?
Yeah. The 3 left that you guys have not gotten.
Broccoli?
Or green? No.
Cabbage.
Close.
Brussels sprouts. Lima beans.
Oh,
I'm just going to list green vegetables. Peas.
No. Okay. What was close? Brussels sprouts?
Cabbage.
Was close? Or cabbage
was
close. Oh, it's some sort of like collard greens or, you know, something to that effect. Or Swiss chard. I don't know.
I'm going to list all
just
8.
Tell us.
Rutabagas.
Beets, carrots, celery, lettuce.
Lettuce.
Parsley, spinach, tomatoes, and watercress.
I was going to say parsley, but I censored myself. I'm like, that's not a vegetable. Yeah, it's a garnish. That's an herb. A herb.
Tomatoes.
So you would actually have had to guess 6 of the 8 vegetables in order to get that slice?
I think you have to name, 6 of the 8. Yep. That's
nuts.
Way harder than where Starbucks.
That seems markedly out of proportion.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, so good job. Everybody seems like, Chris, you're the clear winner of this round. But
what's my prize?
Yeah.
Pride. And we also have 2 backer pop quiz questions, and the first one
is from our Kickstarter backers.
Yes. and we're going to feature some of their questions. First
you,
one
you help
is,
us make the show.
Yep. Jennifer Chu from Falls Church, Virginia. Her question is, and I'm reading this just the way they wrote it, who is the first African to win an acting Oscar?
African. I know. I'm going to guess Charlize Theron.
You are correct.
Oh.
She is South African.
Yeah. I just went with the only one I could think of for sure.
So Jennifer Chu, she asked that question because she loves the Oscars. She says that she's not very interesting because I asked them to, you know, reveal something interesting about themselves. But actually, she is interesting because she is my sister, and if you're a super sleuth,
that makes you interesting.
You would find out that we share the same last name because, for she is my older sister.
It's nepotastic.
Nepotism. And our second question is from Ms. Kathleen Sanders from Bellevue, Washington.
Internet detectives may now begin researching the connection between Karen Chu and Kathleen Sanders.
You can. There is a connection. Her question is, in Blade Runner, Gaff presents Deckard with three pieces of origami. Name the three.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's the crane, right? Or the swan.
The frog that you press on its butt and it jumps.
Yeah, the and there's the unicorn. The unicorn's the big reveal, right?
And one more.
What, you said crane, swan, unicorn?
Oh, I didn't know if it was a crane or a swan.
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm going to guess the cootie catcher.
it's the little fortune teller. Yeah.
The answers that she wrote.
A replicant would like Jason.
This is embarrassing. Actually, yeah.
I am a robot.
You can tell if they're a replicant if they take it and they go 1, 2, 3. I am a robot.
I am.
Who will you marry? When
they fall for it every time.
No. If you ask who will you marry and they say the toaster,
they're a robot.
Her answers, as she wrote, is a chicken, a dude with a boner, and a unicorn.
Are those the answers? I need to watch this movie. That sounds good.
I believe it was a crane and a dude, but...
With the boner.
With a boner.
It might look like origami boner.
I want to see the directions in the script for that.
And Kathleen asked that question because she loves Blade Runner and unicorns and paper dudes with boners.
Yay.
So, yeah. All
right. Fantastic.
And she is also the self-proclaimed world's foremost authority on unicorns and unicornery.
I believe it's unicornalia.
Oh.
Are you challenging her?
Oh, snap.
Unicorn off.
Let's get down to business, our topic of the week, some booze business. And our topic of the week is all about alcohol, spirits, and libations. Mm-hmm.
Which is a good topic because we often do trivia in pubs.
That's
right?
True.
And they often ask questions about alcohol. So.
Mm-hmm. Also, we like to drink.
We drink a lot.
We also consume it. Yes.
Yeah.
What a fortunate coincidence. Right.
I know alcohol.
So I want to start off by asking you guys what your favorite alcohol is. And is there like a particular reason or something interesting about it?
So, I mean, in terms of what I drink the most is probably beer, but that's kind of a boring answer. So my favorite liquor is gin. I know it's kind of an old man drink. I think that's one of the reasons I started drinking it. But to be quite honest, one of the reasons...
An old man or because you are
I liked sort of the crusty old man attitude that it presented. But to be really honest, I started drinking it in college because I liked Gibson's because you get the little onions on there. And it was like a way of getting a little snack in your drink. I was so cheap. I was so cheap. It's the drink that comes with its own appetizer.
Oh. That is very clever. Chris?
I thought about this because I appreciate everything from a fine French wine to Kool-Aid mixed with rubbing alcohol. You know, in the end, I do like the idea of being somewhat of a beer snob. I really do enjoy craft brews and micro brews and things like that. And I really fall on the stout and porter end. I like a nice dark malty rather than hoppy type.
And Dana?
I would say my cocktail of choice is whiskey ginger. I like it because it's, I feel like it's a little more grown up than a vodka cranberry. I think all my alcohol has to taste like soda, which is like,
right. Right. So your primary requirement is goes down easy.
Needs to be sweet.
Smooth.
It takes me to where I'm trying to go.
My favorite drink of choice definitely is just whiskey. Just whiskey and some ice cubes. Awesome. I'm very easy to please.
And a shotgun.
Though I did find out something interesting, because I know whiskey has itself, the whole family is kind of a large family.
Oh, yeah.
You have your rye and you have your single, double, you know, Irish, a lot of classifications. But I did learn that the body or the lightness or the heaviness of whiskey is determined by the size of the grain. Mm. Which appeals to my math nerd in me, because mm-hmm. the smaller the grain, surface to volume ratio is higher, and therefore I appreciate that.
Do you think about it while you're drinking it?
I do. I do now.
Yeah. Yeah. For like the first
yeah.
drink.
Yeah.
Well, it's like sake
say it
too.
In third and fourth and thereafter.
I don't care.
Surface ratios.
But lately, I've also been playing this video game, Skyrim, Elder sure. Scrolls Skyrim. And it has a medieval fantasy setting, and it's set in like kind of a Nordic inspired area, and each town has their own meadery. They make their own mead for that town. And because of that, I don't know, it just kind of flipped a switch for me, and I jumped into homebrew. I read about all the stuff about making mead, making home wines and stuff. And I have three jars of mystery fermented things like in my kitchen. And like I haven't opened it. It's been months. I'm kind of scared.
No, yeah.
But while I was doing all my research, I realized that in history of the human race, if something can be fermented into alcohol, they've tried it.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Everything. Okay. And it's kind of insane. Like gummy bears. Like people try to make gummy bear wine.
It sounds good. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm curious to try it.
Well, I would try that. Or, you know, they started making Skittlebrow after the Simpsons episode, which is Skittles mixed in beer. Homer came up with it, and someone actually produced that. I would try that, even though it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does sound pretty awful.
It's insane. We have our normal grains and fruit, and people kind of go a step further in different cultures. And one of the examples I found was it's in Mongolia, and it's called an arag or a kumis, and it's fermented mare's milk.
I thought you were going to say fermented mare's urine. And then I was like,
we were bracing ourselves for something much worse than milk.
There's just not enough sugar in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure someone tried it.
A diabetic mule.
I'm sure someone has tried it. And the other thing.
I'm glad it's a mare and not a stallion.
So wait, is it fizzy? The fermented milk? That's weird. Ooh. That's just strange. I mean, although I guess it's like a phosphate, right, or something like that. It's kind of milky and fizzy, maybe.
It's described as it sparkles softly on the tongue, which is very romantic. Well, but I'm sure when you're drinking, you're like, oh my god.
Desperate times, dude. Sometimes you want to get effed up, and all you have is a horse.
Speaking of which, especially in these like the colder areas, the Arctic Circle, so the Inuits make their own brand of alcohol from seagulls, from dead seagulls.
Oh.
Like the whole body?
The
or
whole body.
The whole thing.
So, well, I mean, they're limited to their kind of very cold environment, and they don't really have that much work with them. I mean, they eat blubber, for God's sake.
They don't
grow
grapes out
Yeah, exactly.
There,
so, there's nothing growing.
Well, I think it's a lot more effort to harvest blubber than a dead seagull.
True. So, I mean, the recipe is easel. Very
easel.
Simple.
Easel. It's very eagle. It's very eagle.
It's an easy seagull.
Easy seagull. You basically stuff a dead seagull in a bottle with water,
right?
Or melted snow,
you know,
right?
It would look nice in my living room.
And you just leave it out in the sun for a while and let it do its work.
Wow,
some scientific jazz
and,
in a bottle.
And then when the mountains turn blue on the outside, you know it's ready, right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there has been reports of people actually trying
wine,
seagull wine.
What
seagull
they
wine
say?
Makes
seagull
it,
wine. Yeah, it really classes it up.
It takes flight on the tongue.
Seagulling.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if
tastes
the
like
difference, because some people ferment the seagull, catch the seagull when they're alive or dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the taste differential is between the two. Huh. So
right.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. sometimes people just need to be effed up.
Well, I mean, as you say, I was doing a little bit of research on gin this week and came across a story about torpedo juice. Have you guys heard of torpedo juice?
That sounds not good at
all. No, it really doesn't. Sounds fun. So torpedo juice is unfortunately almost literally what it sounds like, which is, you know, I guess in World War II, you'd be stationed, sailors, I suppose, but working with torpedoes. Yeah. They don't give the torpedoes to the guys in the planes. They don't work quite as well from the air. But no, they're powered by 180 proof grain alcohol. And in a pinch, you can make a drink based off of that. And, you know, not again, you
that
talked about.
That must be a very desperate pinch. Oh, my goodness.
I think the bigger problem was that apparently it would leave sometimes things underpowered, so they would find torpedoes with no. I mean, it's.
I've had 180 proof alcohol. I felt a little underpowered.
But I did find some recipes. Apparently, the most common recipe is two parts grain alcohol or torpedo fuel and three parts pineapple juice. Which makes sense. It'd be nice and tropical. You'd probably be in a tropical setting.
It makes it go down easy.
Probably coconut milk might also be a popular
Thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Little like umbrella.
Torpedo pina colada. Mm-hmm. Torpina colada.
Torpina colada.
You're good.
I'm going to register torpinacolada.com right now.
Go fast.
Wait, so, Colin, you did say gin is your favorite drink. Do you don't just drink straight gin.
Not, you know, there are some of the some of these fancy, botanical-infused gins now. I'm not going to do a plug for any of them, but they're quite tasty on their own. But, no, I do gin and tonic, as I say, just a Gibson, because, again, you get the little onions in there.
Do you actually know where how gin and tonic came to be?
I love it, yeah. I mean, with the tonic from the quinine, right? I mean, it goes back to the British service working in the malaria-infused parts of the world, right?
Because tonic water has a quinine.
Yes.
And quinine is a prophylactic for malaria.
Right.
So, which is very British. We're like, well, we have to drink tonic or quinine, right. And it tastes gross. Let's put some booze in it.
Yeah, I know. Enjoy the tropical sun. Hang out on the porch.
Very British.
It's just a quintessentially British liquor, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are all the stories about the Queen Mom and her love of gin that I came across, too. I don't mean to slander her here, but quite fond of the gin, the Queen Mom.
Loved it.
Okay.
Would often be found rolling down the street smoking gin.
And the dewbonnet.
And quinine. Mm-hmm. Laid back.
My
mind on my...
Their mind on
subjects. Her crown. And
malaria on my mind.
I also want to ask Dana. I know I've gone out with Dana, and I know you really like lambics. And I still don't know what it is. Like, I know it's like a fruity beer, or it's a Belgian. It's like from Belgium.
So the one I like is fruity, and I found out today, actually, that it's the cheap fake lambic, even though it comes in. I, you know what? I was disappointed, but then I'm like, you know what? I love it. It's delicious. It comes in a pretty bottle with a gold foil wrapper on top.
It's new good. Beer for girls. Yeah, girls can drink beer.
It is
beer tastes beer like peach now. Beer for girls.
I know. It tastes like delicious soda. Gives you a little bit of a hangover.
But then what is legit real lambic?
Yeah, what separates yours?
So I think mine was actually made in a factory with corn syrup. And then the real lambic, though, is fermented in open tubs in a certain region, a very specific place in Belgium.
Sure.
You know, it makes sense for the price point, actually, now that I think about it. But it's not the fancy one.
And the monks don't say a prayer over the one that you had, right?
You know, this drink, I was comfortable with the idea that it was the Belgian one. And, like, the reason why they leave it open is so that, like, ambient bacteria and crap can go in it. And it spontaneously ferments is how they
Yeah,
and I was like, whoa, but it tastes good with all the, like...
The funkiness.
The skin cells from the factory workers.
Epidermalicious.
But I found out, though, that it's probably, like, the one that I like is called lambic, but it might actually be made with brown ale and corn syrup. Tastes good. That's what
Your first tip-off should have been the straw stuck to the side of the bottle.
I know. It's the Sex and the City beer.
Well, I also am very partial to fruity alcohol and fruity beers, and there's a cider, and well, I guess the pear version is Perry.
Oh.
Oh, the
Perry?
Perry.
Okay.
Is the pear wine or pear alcohol, and cider or sizer is the apple. The apple.
Huh. So pear cider is a misnomer?
Yeah, I guess so.
Huh. I thought Perry was made by like certain breweries, like that was their cute name for it. No,
that's the
like
old timey British pear. One thing about cider, and this is kind of a common fact or non fact, which is Johnny Appleseed. He of the American folk tale, I guess. Right. He's not real, is he?
No, yeah, he
was real.
What?
I mean, or you know, it's more of a legend where there is a real guy, but I think his exploits have been
greatly exaggerated. But yes. No, he was a real guy and related all that stuff. Yeah,
the guy with the huge ox was real too.
What? No, Paul Bunyan is fake. Blowing my mind.
Paul Bunyan, fake. Johnny Appleseed, real.
So Johnny Appleseed, the Appleseed namesake, isn't actually to grow apples to eat.
Right.
They're actually to grow apples.
Nobody ate apples back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
The variants of them, right? I mean, that it's like that. When you plant a seed, any kind of apple can come out of it. Is my understanding.
Oh,
and so most of the types are inedible, and so they would just convert them to alcohol.
Yeah.
Is you know, and so I believe that you grow apples from grafting them.
That's
now,
that's what you're getting at, right? That really he was the apples that for
exactly because yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, growing up, you see little cartoons or hear songs, and it's like, oh, people are enjoying all these apples. Like, no, he's growing them for booze. People are gonna. Yeah.
It was a hard life, Karen.
It was.
We think we have it tough now, and we get drunk like constantly.
Yeah. Right? Now instead of seagulls, now we have Skittles and gummy
bears.
There's
a word for stealing apples from somebody's tree. I think it's called scrumping.
Scrumping. Are you tricking us? Is this going to be something dirty if we look it up? Scrumping. Like is that a British term?
I don't know, but I remember finding this word because I enjoy that word.
You enjoy that word.
Oh, wait, no.
There's I wanted to mean something, and then it meant stealing apples.
It is.
There's a line in a Who song, right? Yeah. Apple scrumping, isn't there? Look up.
It means.
I swear to God.
It is a real word, and it means to steal fruit, especially apples, from a garden.
Yes.
And work.
Yes.
Will you? I think it's in ice. I'm going to look this up later. I think it's in the Who song, 515.
I wonder what fell out of my brain to make room for that. Good job, brain.
Yeah, good job, brain. Good job, Dana's brain. All right, I think we're going to take a little break here from all the booze talk, and let's talk about something educational. Gross. Well, if you want to cram more information into your brain, sometimes you need shortcuts, and we'll show you some of the ways, our favorite ways and tips and tricks to memorize things, and a lot of them are called mnemonic devices, which are little either anagrams or abbreviations that help you remember stuff. And I know that Chris actually has a really, really good one that has saved our pub trivia team.
Yes.
Got out a couple of jams.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion.
Yes.
And it is?
It is. So, okay. My fifth grade teacher, fifth grade teacher for, I guess, I think it was history or something to that effect. I think it was history. She was a real B. You know what I'm saying? keeping it classy.
That was classy.
Yeah.
The facial expression was the
and
classiest.
And she just, I mean, she beat us out one day because she was like, how do you not know the names of the 10 Canadian provinces? Because children in Canada know the names of all 50 states. And how do you not know the names of just 10 provinces? And, I mean, thinking back, it was like, lady, first of all, I mean, I'm going to take issue with the premise of your statement that random 11-year-old from Canada can just rattle off the names of all 50 states with no prompting whatsoever.
Address your emails to Chris Cole. Yeah.
Children of Canada. No cheating. Send me the list. Then after she gave us all the business for it, I still never learned the names of the 10 Canadian provinces. And this question kept coming up that we just, in trivia, we just get a map of Canada and be like, name this province. And so one day, I think it was before trivia finals, was like, all right, I'm going to set myself to learn this. And there was a mnemonic device I found that was very easy to remember, which was, Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing near needles.
Oh, that would make me nervous.
Exactly. And you just see the queen going, oh, goodness, children, the needles.
And it's not alphabetical order, it's in actually geographical
order.
It's
in left to right order.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, where it all breaks down is that you still have to memorize the locations of those three ends at the end. British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec. And then I think after Quebec, it's New Brunswick. and then Prince Edward Island and Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. But of course, when we get to those ends all at the end, and they're on islands and stuff,
yeah.
it's hard to know where exactly they are. So you have a little bit more work to do after that, but Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing Near Needles. We'll get you a good 90% of the way there.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Great. So hopefully Billy and Sally made our queen nervous playing Near Needles can save you a couple of a close emergency trivia needs.
I think it's also good to see the queen so vested in the safety of every individual child.
Yep.
Yeah. Especially Billy and Sally.
Oh, it's just the two of them.
Only
yeah.
Billy and Sally.
Yeah, well, they've got her gin.
And also, what place are they playing at where there's like a bunch of needles just like laying around?
The queen, just sitting there.
Just sitting there, not stopping. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Well, Canada known for their fine needle production.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.